Welcome to PJEFC's Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform lives.
Thank you for this invitation for me to share the Word this morning. I was really blessed by the worship team's selection of songs, the tune, and the words. That's exactly what I needed this morning. Wasn't that great? We praise God for them. Before I begin the sermon text today, there are a few things I want to share with you. And that, the first one is that after almost 7 years now, since we moved here to Malaysia, Judith and I are relocating back to USA in Memphis, the town that made Elvis famous, by the way. Elvis Presley was from Memphis. So we are moving back to that town because our sons are there. And our desire and plan was to stay here longer. We wanted to stay 10 to 15 years here, hopefully in Malaysia. However, the Lord has changed our plans. Several reasons, many reasons. The main reason is that our son Jason, who had stroke in August of 2022, has not improved as much as we would have liked, his doctors would have liked, the neurosurgeon and them. And the main health concern that he has is the balance, because his cerebellum is pretty much damaged and destroyed due to the stroke and the surgery, that part of the brain. So his thinking and cognition is intact, but his balance is really difficult. He's not able to get around. And unless it improves, he may have to be in a wheelchair a few years down the road. So we need to help him. We need to find long-term care options that are available, how the finances are going to work out, and something that we had never thought of 2 years before this. And so that's the reason. So we're packing and we're boxing it, boxes, everything. We're getting together. This is our ninth major move since we got married, Judith and I. Ninth time we are getting rid of everything and starting again from scratch. And God is very helpful, and I'm praying that my next move would be to my eternal home in heaven. I won't have to box any items because I'm not going to be able to take it with me, and I wouldn't care what I left behind. Let Judith and others take care of it. Okay, we are very grateful to PJEFC, Judith and I. This is our home away from home, spiritual home. The Lord brought us together here, Judith and I, because of PJEFC. Judith joined PJEFC in 1979 in Section 14 when she was very young, and I came here in 1985, actually. And Judith and I were married at PJEFC in 1985, and I am not making this up. There are some eyewitnesses present in this room, at least 10, if not more. You can ask them. So it is not something made up. And since then, for 15 years, when we were with our mission organization and working in India, the church faithfully supported us financially. So we are very grateful to PJEFC. And this is our home. Today's scripture meditation is taken from Romans chapter 8, verses 28 to 39. And the title is The Inseparable Love of God. That will be the title, Inseparable Love of God. Let me give you a few alternative sermon titles. And the reason is that this will help you track some of the thoughts that the Lord has put on my heart. One is Experiencing the Love of God Amid Pain and Suffering. How do we experience God's love when we are going through very painful experiences and suffering? Second one is Faithfulness and Fruitfulness Amid Pain and Suffering. How do we remain faithful to the gospel, and how do we remain fruitful in our Christian life even in the midst of suffering? And the last one is a question I want to ask. What do we do when pain and suffering knock on our door? In our, enter our home. and specially enter our own life. So these are alternative titles. And a disclaimer, to avoid misunderstanding, let me make a few things clear. I may this morning break some sound homiletics principles that are taught in the seminaries. And so some of you have been to and taken courses in homiletics. You know what this means. If you don't know what this means, just ignore what I just said. But I'll remain true to the text. That is something a preacher must do. And the passage in Romans chapter 8 will be our base. However, since this is a topical sermon, I will use other scriptures as well from the Bible. I'll use some words from Apostle Paul, of course. Romans 8 is written by him. I'll use some words from Job in the Old Testament and David as well. But I will also use our own experiences, Judith and my experiences of the last 18 months. And these were the most and still are painful and difficult months for us. And we're still not over it. In my sharing, I'll be personal and vulnerable. And I'm not sharing my experiences to seek sympathy or draw attention to myself. Yes, prayers, I want to. We would like you to pray for us. What I want to do today for all of us is to pay attention to the Word of God and the God of the Word. The Word of God and the God of the Word. So with that, let us move. There are three purposes in sharing this sermon. The first one is to give glory to God. By sharing this thoughts, I want for myself and for all of you to learn more about God, who our God is. How great is our God, and about his inseparable love for us. All praise and glory to him. So first purpose, glory to God. Second one is to have a brief look into the theology of suffering. Very, very brief. Why pain and suffering come to the children of God? Well, look at the cross. We have a cross back here, a red cross on the side here. It's a symbol of forgiveness and forgiveness of sin on the cross. Jesus died and cross is empty. Resurrection of Christ, and in that we have hope of our own resurrection. But you know, cross also reminds us of pain and suffering. Jesus told us to take up your cross, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me daily. But here is somewhere where I have made mistakes, and maybe some of you have, and a lot of Christians have made, they make mistake. They want to take up the cross as long as it's not too heavy. As long as the cross is covered with soft velvet clothing that feels cuddly to be feel comforted with, we do not want to carry a cross that gives us splinters. Cross also teaches us theology of suffering. And the third one is to bring comfort to some of you who might be going through pain and suffering yourself. Hopefully we can bring comfort or have been through pain and suffering. Or will go through pain and suffering. So now to the passage. Sorry for that very long introduction. In this passage, Romans 8, 28 to 39, Paul not only gave an exhortation to the church in Rome, but his learning and what he wrote to the church in Romans is from his own experiences. He had been to Corinth before. He wrote to Corinthians. Some people believe that Romans was between 1st and the 2nd Corinthians. I believe it was after the 2nd Corinthians, regardless of that. Let me read these two verses, that Paul was not an armchair theologian. He's writing from his own experience. When Paul was called by God, he had that vision on his way to Damascus. Jesus appeared to him. And after that, Jesus sends Ananias to go and meet with Paul in Romans chapter 9, 16. This is what we read. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. That was the recruiting strategy God had. Hey, Paul, you want to follow me? You want to join my organization and you want to serve with me? Yes, Lord, what do you offer me? Suffering? Can you imagine Pastor Joshua, who just recently joined, and Reverend Alexa and Elder Chien, other interviewing him, and say, well, there's one thing we guarantee you at first at PJEFC is that we'll show you how much you'll suffer. You know, that's not very good strategy, but that's what God used for Paul. And here is something, let's read, that's Romans, but I'm going to read another passage before that. In 2 Corinthians, this is Paul's experience. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with a rod. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in dangers. Danger in the city, in danger in the country, danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily. And that is the emotional struggle is expressing the pressure of my concern for all the churches. So this apostle Paul is writing these words now in Romans chapter 8. So now turn to Romans chapter 8 with me, please. Let's read the passage. Okay, ESV, I'm reading from, the small letters, but I'll read from my Bible. And Paul says, I wish we could read the entire Romans 8, but we'll start with the verse that's given to us, 28 to 39. And we know, Paul says, that those who love God, all things work together for good. The text here is, for we know that, right? It's almost like a hypothetical sort of question there. We ought to know this, believers, that for those who love God, all things work together for good. And Bible says that our love towards God is in response to his love for us. He loved us first. So whenever we think about us loving him, always think that he has loved us first. Our love is just in response to his love. So he said, for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. This is the one group of people. People who respond to God's love and love him in obedience, and people who are called to be part of his kingdom. For those whom he foreknew, foreknowledge of God, there are many big theological words in here. I am not going to go into details. Reverend Alexa will teach you someday. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined. He determined that in pre-knowledge of God, Ephesians, Paul wrote that before the foundation of the world, he chose us. So God knew who would be his, and he determined that they would be my children and be conformed to the image of his son, our Lord Jesus, in order that he might be firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called, calling of God. And the ones he called, he justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified, is in the past tense, that is yet to come. There's a lot of theology here. I can almost see that Paul writing this, and he said, look how much God has done for us. Well, what do you say to this then? If God has done all of this, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Look how much he has done. Look how much he has done. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him give us all things? Think about it. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? If God has elected you, if God determined before the foundation of the world that you would be his children, who will bring charge against you? There is no higher authority than our God. It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Jesus, Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who is indeed interceding for us. Do you know that we have a prayer partner, Jesus? He's interceding for us daily. Who shall, if this is all true, there are many hypothetical questions. Who shall separate us from love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No. Distress? No. Persecution? No. Famine? No. Nakedness? No. Danger? No. Sword? No. As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Again, love of God. For I am sure that neither death nor life, Paul says, if I die today or if I live another 20, 30 years, death or life, or angels or rulers that are the evil spirits, fallen angels, neither death of life nor angels or rulers nor things present, the circumstances that I am going through now, present, or the things to come, tomorrow, next month, next year, things to come, no powers, no height, no depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, says Apostle Paul. And he writes this because he experienced the inseparable love of God in all these difficulties that he went through. Now our story, and then seven lessons learned. As I shared in August 2022, we were here. We had just been to Cyprus for a conference and then Israel, then went to Laos to teach and came home, and I was getting ready to book a ticket to go to Myanmar to teach, and we got a phone call from the hospital in Memphis. It was a neurosurgeon. I said, Mr. Ayer, you need to come here. We're going to operate your son. He had a severe stroke. He may die. You need to come home. Okay, so we went back. As soon as we went back, first 6 weeks, with day and night, Judy spent the whole night with him in the hospital. In U.S., in ICU, you can stay with your family members. And I spent most of the day. So 6 weeks, no time to get over jet lag and everything else. And once he was released from the hospital on October 1st, we had no place because we had sold our house when we moved here in 2017. So we were frantically looking for an apartment to rent. We can take care of Jason. Jason had a rented house, but he had roommate, and we needed some privacy. So that was a different thing. The day he was released from the hospital, we found an apartment and we moved in October 1st and had to budget and finance. So we were physically really exhausted. Then ministry-wise, I was struggling more than Judith. Is that why, Lord? We gave up in 2017 a very good job and a ministry. We sold our house. I was 66 then. And we decided to come here and stay here for a longer period of time. And everything was going well. Lord, why? I called it an abrupt interruption, 180 degrees. Have you experienced that? You know this is your plan, and you pray, and God, and you start the thing, and God said, you're not doing it. And so that, I'm still struggling with it. I've submitted myself to God's will, but let me be honest, I wish he didn't do that. Okay, so there was then disappointment. Both of our sons, one is struggling physically tremendously, younger one has mental health issues, and so he has turned to substance abuse, and so he's struggling in and out of rehab, so we're trying to help them out in the midst of it all. Then I found out that I had a little blockage in my artery, so we were dealing with the heart issue, then we had shoulder surgery. So for 6 weeks, Judith was the only driver in the family. And I'm convinced, I mean, when we got married, Wong Fuktiam in 1985 told me that Judith is Hakka, and he said, you know, Hakka women are tough. I thought it was just a joking. Right, Gary and George, you both have Hakka wives? But I am not kidding, guys. If you're not married, look for one who is a Hakka. So she was amazing, but there was disappointment. I was disappointed. I struggled internally. And unmet expectations. You desire something for yourself, for your marriage, for your children, for your job, for your finances, for your house. And it just kind of, God intervenes and he just tears it out. And so I struggled with that. And that took me for a while. I'm over it now. Fear. Just the fear gripped me. I used to preach against fear. So if you're a preacher, be aware. What you preach to your congregation, God will test you in that. Are you doing it yourself? And then I had anxiety and problem with mild depression. My doctor put me on a small meds that I'm still taking. It's helping, but ultimately God is the one who cares for us. So it's been just a turmoil. One day Judy described that it feels like God put us in a washing machine and turned it on a high speed, you know, and you just kind of tumbling. And every day there is something, and I was just so afraid. I felt like Job that maybe today one more bad news is going to come. It's just month after month that something was falling apart. So what did I learn? Seven lessons, inseparable, unforgettable seven lessons I learned through that, and I hope this will help you. I'm still learning. I'm not there yet. First one is inseparable love of God in Christ Jesus. Throughout this time and even today, I've never, ever felt that God did not love me. In fact, somehow in the midst of pain and suffering, there is sweet and special intimate relationship with God. I took a lot of time praying. My prayer life increased. Bible reading increased. But in all of these things, sitting quietly and contemplating on love of Christ, no one, nothing will separate us from love of God. In Ephesians, Paul says in chapter 3, verse 17, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all fullness of God. Love of Christ in Christ Jesus. And you think, yes, but we are still learning. Love is from God. In 1 John says, God is love. In him is love. And there's one reason why I believe in one God and three person, Trinity, is love. I've talked to some of the people of some faith. They believe there is only one God. And say, oh, you worship three gods. I said, no, but there are three persons. Because in order for us to know love and experience love, there has to be someone to love and someone to receive love from. And when we say God is love, there has to be three persons. Father loving Son, Son loving Father, Holy Spirit. Anyway, Trinity and love, study that. That's quite fascinating. So inseparable love of God, I've experienced from God. But second thing is also very important. Love from a faith community. Love from the faith community. Some of you are taking notes. I can send you these notes afterwards. They're not copyright. Nothing is original here. It's all from the Bible and the Holy Spirit. So I don't take any credit. Love from a faith community. That's very important. I would not have survived, Judith and I, without believers that we had in Memphis and believers we had here. We maintain our relationship with our CG online thanks to technology. And tremendous, just kept in touch with them. They were praying for us. And then I had my 3-2-1 friends. We were WhatsApp and praying for one another. You cannot. Local church is extremely important. If you're going through pain and suffering, don't. Church is not perfect. You can't just have Jesus. As soon as you say yes to Jesus and follow him, you look back and there'll be 500 people following you, and some of those people you may not like, but you're going to have to. You can't just take Jesus. You got to take the church as well, okay? So, and this is something so true I'm learning. You will not fully understand or experience the gospel of Jesus Christ without being an active member of a local church. You will not understand the gospel or experience the gospel that gospel offers without there is someone sitting next to you. And therefore, we have at PJEFC, love God, love people, and make disciples. So the first one is inseparable love of God. Second one is, oh boy, let's go. God loves me. Yeah, so in that, I'll share a personal story. Dream and vision, there is a little difference. So during this time, I had more visions than I've ever had in my Christian life. One of these visions was sitting in his lap. That's one vision. Whenever I would get very tired and I would just say, Lord, I'm afraid and I need comfort, I just visualized that I went to the Father. Father said, come on, Pradeep. He lifted me up. He put me on his lap. And my head is on his chest. And Father was busy doing things. He's just guiding all the affairs, you know, Gaza-Israel war. But he just put his hand on my head and he get on with his work. But I was in his lap. And that vision was very comforting. And trust and faith remain strong. The pain and suffering, I realize it is from God. As Job said, God is in it. I was convinced that I don't like it. I wish there was any another way God would have done it, but God is in it. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Paul says, if God is going to be with you, why are you afraid? Second one is the greatness of God. First one is the love of God. In Job, if you really seriously read and studied Job, it's not an easy book. I wish I could do a one-week seminar on Job. But in Job, after Job suffers immensely, his friends come over and everybody has this philosophical and theological discussion for chapters after chapters. Why suffering and why did Job did something wrong? And they're all wondering on it. And then God comes and he says, time out. What are you guys discussing without any understanding and everything? Chapters 38 to 41, and what? God never gave an answer. Why? What did he do then in those four chapters? What did God say to Job and to his friends? And he said that when you go through these kind of things that you don't understand, think about who I am. Where were you when I laid the foundation? Where were you when this happened and the stars and this and that? Do you know who you are talking about and talking to? How great your God is? Job, I have allowed this to show you who I am. Okay. And then another passage. Last 10 days, I'm reading Isaiah 40 and Romans 8 every morning, three times. Compare those passages. In Isaiah, when Isaiah is giving the story and suffering of people in the nation of Israel, comes to chapter 40, and it's a powerful chapter. In verse 18, he says, after saying all this, well then, to whom then will you liken God? Who are you going to, or what likeness compare with you? Who are you going to compare me with? Your wealth? I've got more money. Your wisdom? I've got more wisdom. Your knowledge? I've got more knowledge. Do not bring anything or anyone close to me. We need to have that intimate relationship with God. In that place, only you and God dwell and nothing and no one else. Not your marriage, not your children, especially Asian parents' children. They occupy in U.S. also. Kids kind of rule the parents' life. But it has to be God. It has to be. And then in verse 25, to whom then will you compare me with that I should be like him? God says, think about it, my children. Who I am, how great I am. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. We sang some songs today. There were Isaiah 40 there. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is inscrutable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, walk and not faint. God wants us for himself, and that's what I learned. To be in his presence, to have communion. And then what God does, if I was so busy in ministry, I thought we need to work, especially when you're young. God says, Pradeep, slow down. You're so distracted. I'm going to bring circumstances in your life. I'm going to isolate you from everything, even your own emotions. God wanted me for himself. And God may do that for your life. He might bring something. If you don't listen, he might do something and say, okay, now time out. Let's just go upstairs in the room and just have a talk. And God will be with you. But when God takes you upstairs in the room with a little cane in his hand, you will experience his love, but it'll hurt too. Okay, we'll come to the hurt part. So he said, isolate, lose control. And so what he was teaching me, Pradeep, can you lose control? Can you just, because for men especially, we want to know. So I said, God, okay, don't solve my problem. Can you at least tell me what is my problem, what I'm facing? And God said, if I tell you, you'll try to control it again. Anyway, so he said, I'm not going to tell you. I felt like there were times, two other visions, that I was lost in a maze. You know, maze, you understand. And I could never. I was frantically running and huffing and puffing, but I couldn't get my way out. And the walls were squeezing in. And it was so painful. And I felt like I was running through a dark tunnel, and there was no light at the end of the tunnel. But God was with me. God wanted me to free fall in his grace. I wrote some devotion. Free falling in God's grace and losing control of everything that is around you. And it's so tempting to hang on to either money or knowledge or experience or friends or church or something. And God says, brother, whoa, 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 time out. Just let's go. So my brothers and sisters, how big is your God? Don't make God small. He's much bigger, much stronger, much wiser, much wealthier than you can ever imagine. So when you go through pain and suffering, please learn this from God. That's what I learned. Okay, now a little quicker. Suffering and pain, third, are not outside of God's will. I'll go quickly. I'll just give you some scripture verses. So this is Bible speaking, so I don't have to convince you. This is true. Philippians 1:29, Paul says, "For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him." Do you believe all in Jesus? If you're here believing all in Jesus, not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake. Suffering and pain are not outside. So when it happens, you say, God, why are you doing it? God says, well, that's how I work. Okay? 1 Peter, "Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking." Change your thinking when you're suffering. This is nothing unusual. Okay. Then Romans 8:16 and 17. Glory. Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and follow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Suffering. There are many benefits of suffering. We did a course in Myanmar on suffering, and I've got notes on it. Give me your email, I'll send it to you. There's joy in suffering, New Testament says. There's comfort in suffering, glory in suffering, pain in suffering, suffering for the sake of the gospel. Suffering helps ministry. So, pain and suffering are not outside of God's will for children. Fourth, it's normal to express our pain to God. God is big. He can handle all our tantrums. We can roll on the floor and kick our feet like a little child before God, perfectly okay. God can handle that. He knows what it's like. And so let me read some of these verses from David. Pain is real and it hurts. Psalmist in Psalm 119, 25 says, "My soul," listen to this, he says, "my soul clings to the dust. Give me life. Revive me according to your word." I wish this author, what was he going through in saying that? In verse 28, he says, "My soul melts away for sorrow. Strengthen me according to your word." Such honesty, almost 50% of the Psalms are lament Psalms. I cry out to you, Lord. Why, O Lord? How long, O Lord? I've stopped asking why. I've got the answer on why. My prayer now is, Lord, can you put an end to this misery? You know how long it's going to go on. Just this is enough. Job was very honest about his suffering. Look at some of the words Job used. "I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, but trouble comes. I was at ease, and he broke me apart." He says, God seized me by the neck and dashed me to the pieces. He set me up as his target. I felt that way. I said, God, you just kind of dragged me like a rag doll. And My days are past, my plans are broken, says Job, desires of my heart. But when I hope for good, evil came, and when I waited for light, darkness came, says Job. And then he has some good words also in chapter 9, there is no arbiter. He was looking, is there someone who can put a hand on us? This is the future understanding of the gospel. Job kind of felt that there will be somebody, another human being, who can put a hand on God and on me also, that's Jesus. And he said, I know my Redeemer lives, but he was very honest. Learn to cry and share with others. Be honest with God. How many of men here cry? How many men have cried? Okay, there are a few. Oh, you're too young to cry. Okay, anyway, are you married? No? Maybe that's why you're crying. Okay. Be humble, be vulnerable. Pain and suffering are real and it hurts. Dark night of the soul. I normally cried at night in the bed, crying while taking walks, but the best place to do it is when you take a shower. You know, it just washes over a tear. I just say, God, why? When I come out, but you cry. And shouting at Satan like Luther did, I did that. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on it. And yet pain remains. But sharing honestly, find two or three people. Everybody should have, women should have three other women, men should have at least three other men, that I call them your, you should be able to cry on their shoulder. It's perfectly okay. And that is such a therapeutic thing to do. There is no weakness in that. There is no, okay, then God uses suffering to prune us. John 15, you know, we abide in him and we bear much fruit, but for God, for us to bear much fruit, he prunes, and pruning is painful. Oh, I wish I could had time to read this passage. It's for discipline that you have to endure, God says. In Hebrews 12, 7 to 11, in verse 11, he says, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. The author of Hebrews says, yeah, it's God is going to discipline you because he loves you. But he says it's going to be painful, but later it yields peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So God uses suffering. Suffering of present times are not worthy to be compared. So God uses suffering to make us more like his son. It's a pruning process. Then 6 and 7, two things. I had to learn dealing with shame and guilt. Guilt, because I'm a macho man, you know, I've got it under control, I can deal with it no matter how hard life becomes, I can handle it. There are a lot of men like that. And so I was struggling with guilt, especially with my kids. Could have, should have you done that? Oh man, we should have read more Bible with our children. Oh, when they were tiny, we should have taken them to church, which we did, and people do it, but it's just, and God says, Pradeep, shut up. Be still and know that I'm God. Time out here. So I said, Lord, what are you teaching me? In my guilt, I wish there was more, God showed me my pride. What I was doing, that I'm in my guilt, back to the future. Oh, if I was when I was, you know, kids were small or before that or where I was, if I had done that, I almost wanted to go back in the past and fix that. God says, thank me, you could have done worse. You know, thank me that you didn't do as bad as I thought you would do. He said, Pradeep, that is pride. You think that you can fix it. No, you can't. Luther says, past belongs to God. So when you're struggling with guilt, find out if pride is not behind it. Another one is shame. In Hebrews 11, 16, therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. God is never ashamed, no matter how worse or bad I am. He always takes me to all the places and says, listen, this is Pradeep, he's my son, and I'm proud of him. He is never ashamed to be standing. So many parents are ashamed of their children. That is sad, no matter what they do. That's how much God loves us. And gospel heals past memories. And the seventh one is then how we are surviving. Three things, God focus. We remained, even Judith and I came together. I have tremendous appreciation for her. During this last 18 months, I've just I never had any doubt why I married Judith. I never had, you know, should I have married somebody else? That never happened. I have some doubts on why did I get married in the first place, you know, just the thought of marriage, but not the fact of the person. But we both came close together, and the way we did it was not seek to be close to one another, but if you have a triangle, here's Judith, here's the base, that's me. And instead of coming this way, she learned to grow closer to God, and I did too. And get what happens when you come closer to God, you're closer to one another. So that was very, very helpful. Centrality of the gospel, get close to God, and you will get close to people. You want to strengthen your marriage? Get busy with God, then with your wife or your spouse, and teach them. So God focus. Word of God is essential. Appreciation, a tremendous appreciation for wisdom literature. I read in last year and a half Job, Psalm, Ecclesiastics, all the wisdom literature. Before that, I was all intellectual. Give me Romans, give me Galatians, give me theology and all of that. You know, all this emotional stuff, you know. God has awakened in me need to engage with him more emotionally and other people. So word is essential. If you don't get into the word of God, brothers and sisters, there is no other book like this in the world. There is nothing written in the world that is as valuable as this is. And what happens is when you read over and over and over Bible, all the scriptures, God will remind you. If you have not read it, how is the Holy Spirit going to remind you the scriptures? Come on, we got to do this work. So remain word. Word of God is essential. Third thing, body is essential. Get involved with the body of Christ. If one member suffers, Paul says in 1 Corinthians, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. In our suffering we share. I'm sure there is somebody here who's going through a hard time. Please talk to someone. Honest time with God. Be very honest with God. And you know, here's one reason, very simple reason, why you should be honest with God and tell him everything, how you feel, because he knows it already. There is nothing you can hide from him. Pray and do not be afraid to make mistakes and weaknesses. God loves us so dearly. I have come closer to God through this very difficult time. I've learned how big, how strong, how mighty, how wealthy, how wise, how understanding my God is, and no one or nothing compares with him. There is nothing. There is nothing. My God loves me in Jesus, and nothing or no one will separate me from his love. We're not done through this dark tunnel. We still have got some big issues facing when we go home, but God is with us. And that's what I wanted to share with you. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. Why? Because he's with me and he's with you. Father, we thank you for your word, and we are grateful to you for your grace and your mercy, Lord. And I pray that we would not leave this place today without being convinced, not just in our head, but in our heart, that you're big. You're almighty, all-powerful, all-wise, all-knowledgeable, all-wealthy. There's nothing. And you love us so much, no one or nothing will separate us from the love of Christ, as we read in Romans, and be convinced that there is no other word in the world compares with your word. Lord, help us to walk through the valley of the shadow of death without any fear, because you will and are walking with us. In his name, amen.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org/sermons. Love God, love people, make disciples.